Not quite. Good morning. Just helping out where I can. If you would, take your Bibles and turn to the book of Leviticus, number 27, chapter 27, Leviticus 27. We'll be over there in just a moment. If you're a visitor here, most of our Sundays are not going to be like this. This is our budget sermon for the year and our budget overview. So if you thought that was a little bit of an odd worship service, understandable. Come back next week and hopefully it will be a little bit more about what you're expecting. But I will tell you this, is it important that we do this kind of thing? It is important that we know why we give in the first place. It's important to know for what we're giving. And it's also important to know how that is handled, how that is dealt with. We'll take a look at some scripture on that in just a moment. But I want you to know that just because it's presented today does not mean this is the only day you can ask questions about the budget. We have three elders who stand ready to help you go through that if you like, and also Jason Tytloff, who's going to be giving our presentation here in just a minute, will help you with that as well. So please feel free to do that. And it is a blessing that we are blessed the way we are. In fact, if you're saying, you know, Jason doesn't preach a lot of lessons on giving, well, there's a good reason for that. We're over budget all the time. But it is still necessary that we make sure that we do what is right with the Lord's funds, what is given for the work of the Lord, not for us as individuals. Leviticus 27 and verse 30. Leviticus 27 and 30. I want to start with an understanding that this can be a difficult issue for people because of what they may have been taught within other groups as far as what is required of Christians today. There is no set amount of money that is commanded for Christians to give today. We're not commanded to give a tenth or a fifth or whatever the case may be. But in the Old Covenant, under the Old Covenant, there was a set figure. And I thought I'd just take a brief moment to discuss it. Leviticus 27 and 30. Every tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or the fruit of the trees, is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. Well, that word tithe there means a tenth. You may be familiar with that. And the Israelites were required to give a tenth because they had quite an economy to deal with. When you were dealing with Israel in the Old Covenant, you were talking about a country that was governed by its religious rules, by the law of Moses. And you also had a priestly caste that had to do sacrifices and all those kind of things on a regular basis. So if I'm going to have a priestly caste that handles all the sacrifices, they can't also do another job for a living. So the way God ordered that was the remaining 11 tribes would give a tenth of what they got. That would go to the Lord, and then the tenth of the tenth supplied the Levitical priesthood. So everything worked together there to forward not only the economy of the nation of Israel, but the worship of God. And you notice that it says that the tithe was holy. The tithe is holy. And in that way, the things that we're dealing with today are holy to an extent. We set them aside. We set apart. That's what the word holy means. We take the funds that are given and we set them apart. And those things are for the Lord's work. Well, the closest thing we have to a direct command in the New Testament, we don't have an amount to give, but we do have a command to give and a when. If you'll turn to 1 Corinthians 16, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, you've heard this several times, and verse 1, this is probably the most popular verse that people use to introduce the contribution on a Sunday. It says this, 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1, now concerning the collection for the saints. Now, Paul here is dealing with the fact that there are poor people in Judea and the other churches, some of them in Greece, are offering to satisfy their needs with funds. It says, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so you also are to do. On the first day of every week, each of you is to put something aside and store it up, as he may prosper, so that there will be no collecting when I come. When I arrive, I will send those whom you accredit by letter to carry your gift to Jerusalem. So what does Paul say here? Paul says, just like in Corinth, just like at North 2nd Street, I want you to do what all the other churches are doing. Notice the consistency of Paul's preaching there. What they do in Galatia is what they do in Macedonia, and it's what they do in Corinthians. So in Corinth. So what we have is we have a very consistent idea that we are to set apart as holy some of our funds. We're not given a set amount. But we do that because we are cheerful and we hopefully give as much as we can because we believe in the work here. And I think that's a big deal. I think the reason that we're over budget is because we have an enthusiastic group of Christians. I think people are excited about what's going on here. I am excited about what's going on here. Our elders and our deacons are excited about what's going on here. We are a church that's flourishing in a time when so many are not. And that is because of every one of you. Every one of you who come, every one of you who worship, who drag your kids out on Wednesday nights and Sunday morning, who go and visit other people and talk to other people and take care of the needs for other people so that the deacons and the elders can be left to other work, so preachers can do the work. And we have many men and women in this church who do the work of evangelism every day of their life. They make sure there's a welcoming hand. They make sure that people are called and checked on and that they're fed. And all those things are going on with this church. And when you're part of this that kind of a church, it's exciting. How many of you that are, not my age, but a little older than teenagers, have been in a church somewhere and said, man, I wish I went to church somewhere where they, if they found out that there were hungry people in the congregation, they fed them. I wish I were part of a congregation if there was somebody that was disabled, that we washed their clothes, that we took care of their needs, that we gave them rides, that we did all those things. We invited people. We had hospitality. We saw each other. Haven't you thought, wouldn't that be great? Right here. North 2nd Street. The things that we are doing are holy. They are for God. We're talking about money. I think it's easy to think of money as not a godly thing, a worldly thing, and it is tied to the world. But we are doing something holy here with our funds because we are moving forward. Brother Jason Tytloff is going to talk to us today about what the things that we have ahead for us this year. And I think you're going to be excited about those things. But as far as our giving is concerned, we are to give of a full heart on the first day of every week. That's as close as we have to a command in the New Testament. Well, I want you to take a look at, still in 1 Corinthians, look at chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and we want to look at this idea of what Paul is talking about as far as what we do with those funds. The funds are holy. The idea that we take funds from the congregation, it's a great responsibility that the elders hold to make sure that those things are handled well because they are the Lord's. They're given for the work of the Lord, not for the work of man. Look at 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 14. 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 14. It says, in the same way, the Lord commanded that those who proclaim the gospel should get their living by the gospel. We're authorized to pay the preacher. We're authorized to take that holy money. We can't just do anything we want to with it. We are to do what we see found in Scripture. Do we see where churches pay preachers to go and spread the good news? We do. Do we see benevolence being made? Yes. If you notice that passage in 1 Corinthians 16, that was the collection for the saints. You could have put the word needy in there. That was the benevolence for fellow Christians. What we do with the Lord's money is we serve the Lord's purpose, either in spreading the kingdom or encouraging the saved. Those are the things that we do with what is taken up on the first day of the week. Well, if you would turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and this is in the middle of a passage that we normally deal with as far as being a cheerful giver. In chapter 9 that's coming up there, Paul says that the Lord likes a cheerful giver, loves a cheerful giver. But look what he says in chapter 8 and verse 20. So I'm in 2 Corinthians 8, 2 Corinthians 8, verse 20. Paul says something here very interesting. Now, Paul is an apostle of Jesus Christ. Who would ever suspect his motives? Well, Christians and people being people, you're going to have that from time to time. In fact, particularly if you end up with someone who's trying to set things apart for themselves and trying to maybe cause a rift within the congregation, we'll begin just asking questions. Well, Paul says, take care how you handle things. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 20. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 20 says, we take this course. This is Paul. We take this course so that no one should blame us about this generous gift that is being administered by us. For we aim at what is honorable, not only in the Lord's sight, but also in the sight of man. What Paul is saying is, if I send for gifts for Macedonia and they want to send someone to kind of guarantee that we do the right thing with the money, that's fine. In fact, Paul says, I would rather take that course. I would rather open the books and have people look at what I'm doing than handle it just myself. So he takes this course of adding volunteers from the other churches to go with them. That's what Paul means in 1 Corinthians 16. If you want someone to go with me, that's fine. And what he's doing is he's doing it to be honorable. Because let me tell you something. A church that fears and a church that second guesses and a church that thinks that maybe something's not going on right around here. Do you feel the coldness that pours on things? You want to stop a church from growing? You find yourself doing things in secret. You find yourselves doing things that don't have witnesses. If you have witnesses and things are done in the open, then no one doubts your honor. No one doubts what you're doing. We take this course that no one should blame us about this generous gift. We aim at doing what is honorable. So we find that the closest thing we have to a command in the New Testament to give, we don't have an amount, but we have a day, the first day of every week, the lay-by-and store. We want to do what is right with the Word of God. We want to make sure that what we do, the Lord will be approved of. Is the Lord okay with preaching the gospel? Yes. Is he okay with supporting it? Yes, he is as well. Has God made a way that we should fulfill the needs of all members if they fall into hard times? The answer there is also yes. And we should make sure that we handle the money in a way that's honorable. And that's what we're going to do this morning. Brother Tytloff is going to show us, going to open the books and show us what is done with the funds here. But there's one other thing I want to address, and that is in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Hopefully you're already there in your Bible. If you'd like to be going down to verse 10, that's where we'll be in a second. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 10. Because this is an element of faith. Faith. Right now what this church needs is it needs people who are on fire, who are have a lot of zeal for the Lord, who have a lot of zeal for this work, and who come and are bedrocks in this church. We need that, but we also need people who will do something in faith. We need to know that God, if we give to God, he will give back to us. Now here you may be saying, I have stumbled into the wrong place. This sounds like prosperity gospel to me. This sounds like Creflo Dollar. Nope, sorry, not Creflo Dollar this morning. But there is an element that says, if I give maybe a little more than I should, will God reward us? If this congregation decides that it's going to do something and it needs funds, can God supply those things? Is God capable of blessing us? Is God at work in this place? Paul says yes. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Look at verse 8. Let me back up to verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. God is able to make all grace. He's not saying, remember back in New Testament times when God could do things? Remember back in Old Testament times when God split the Red Sea, and now God's just not as active in our churches anymore. God just doesn't do anything in our modern time. Let me read this to you again. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, he has distributed freely, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. If we are about the Lord's business, these funds are holy. And if they are holy, they are to be spent on holy work. And if we do so in faith, then God will reward us. God will make a way. This congregation has some needs that we need financial backing to solve. So we're going to have to put our faith in each other and our faith in God. And know that if we give seed, he will provide more. Let me finish verse 10 and follow it into 11. And bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. Listen now. You will be enriched in every way, to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. By their approval of this service, They will glorify God because of your submission, flowing from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others. If we sow seed, God will bless us with more. Let's sow some seed. Let's make 2026 a year that this church takes a step forward. We have leadership here. We have men we can trust. It has not been that long that this church was not organized. But now that it is, and we're growing, and we see the fruits of our labor, we see that God is working here. We need more of a facility. We need a bigger pen. Why? We don't need a bigger pen just because we want a fancy pen. We need a bigger pen because there are lost sheep out there that need to be found. And we need room to feed them and house them and pull the ticks off of them and bind them up and do the kinds of things that Christians are to do. And as we continue to do those things, let us have faith that God will reward us and make our seed overflow so that more may be sown. I don't know what you give. I'm just thrilled. I hate to even mention this because we're so blessed. But if you're giving some, think about giving a little more. I'm not trying to make you poor. Ask yourself if there's more you can do. Ask if the work of the Lord is worth it. This congregation can build, not just in numbers, but physically. We need a building. It needs to happen. Because we're bumping up against our capacity. And we need to make sure that we burst forward and not go backwards. That's our lesson for this morning. We're going to have a brief invitation. I will tell you this. If you are wanting to become a Christian today, we can wait on the budget announcement. We will gladly baptize you this morning. If you're not a Christian, we want that for you. Please stick around. Don't leave. We're going to have a report from Brother Jason Tytloff in just a moment. But we do want to sing our invitation song so that if someone wants to become a Christian or you need prayers of repentance, please come forward as we stand and we sing.